Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah. All the lies tell us just to set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, welcome once again to What the World Needs Now. You are listening to Kathleen McCarthy, and as always, it's a blessing, a privilege to be with all of you today. You are truly my extended family. You are, to me, a great support. You encourage me on my way, and I am so grateful for all of your support. I want to praise and thank God for all of our family of listeners. Many of you pray, many of you fast, and without those prayers, let me tell you something. This voice would be silenced without underpinning it with the beautiful gift of your prayers, your sacrifices, your time. I want to share something with you today. Anybody that's listening, I don't know if you live anywhere near Rosemont or Villanova or Bryn Mawr, anywhere in the surrounding area. I am really in need over here of someone that could help us out here in the ministry as a volunteer. I need somebody that's very computer savvy, and if you could volunteer even a day or 2 days or several hours, I'm breaking them up. I really need someone that can maintain my website, bring up things up to date. You know, it's been a year and a half now, almost 2 years, about a year and a half since John's been with us, and, you know, he did all of that, and I really need someone to come in and volunteer some time here to be able to help us. Somebody that continue not only to maintain the website, but also have ideas of where to go from here and how to update and, you know, put all my speaking engagements back on, all those types of things, bring everything up to date. I really need that help. So if you're listening today and maybe you're retired, maybe you say, oh, I could do that. Or, you know, for one of many different reasons, maybe you're looking for a volunteer opportunity. This is it. And the beautiful thing about volunteering time, many times you wind up realizing you have gifts you never knew you had. and that's a powerful awakening within us, to realize that you've come to give, but even in that giving, you wind up receiving so much more. So if there's anyone out there today and you're listening and say, Kathleen, I am a computer person, and I'd be glad to give you, 5 hours a week, or I'd be glad to give you one afternoon or 2 afternoons, that would be a tremendous blessing for me. And if that's possible, give me a call at 610-527-5000. 2906. 610-527-2906. And you can leave a message on there, leave your phone number. I will call you right back. You know, I had to leave my full-time assistant go about 2 years ago now. And, you know, I miss that help. All the, you know, she was my executive secretary. She did it all. And so all I'm asking, and she still comes in, you know, one day a week for a few hours. But if there's any way that you could help me out here, I deeply appreciate it. And I know you have to ask to get the help, so I'm asking. If you're available, give me a call at 610-527-2906. I'm going to open up the scriptures today. Today is Tuesday. If you'd like to call in, feel free. I've been opening up that line on Tuesday. Maybe you'd like to share your thoughts with me. Maybe you've, maybe you'd like to share at a conference, some good things that have happened there to you. Maybe you had a beautiful experience, Divine Mercy Sunday, whatever. Give us a call. I just want to offer this day up first and foremost for the three persons that lost their lives in that heinous, terrible, cowardly act up in Boston at the marathon. And for all the family members of those three people, along with all the many people, well over 130 people that were injured, and I hear even many of them lost limbs. So for them and the journey they have ahead of them, for all their family members, I ask that you would join me in this prayer and continue to pray for all those who lost their lives, and for all those that may have suffered in ways we have not yet even understood, that have are in hospitals and their families. So my brothers and sisters, let's unceasingly keep them in prayer. As I said, it's Tuesday. You know, I love to open up the scriptures. But if you want to give a call in, you know, this isn't our prayer day. Our prayer day is on Friday. But if you have an emergency, that something to pray for, or you really have questions, even if you could help out, let me know. Whatever it is, you can always call in. You can dial 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. You know, it's amazing, really amazing, God's movement and his way. I really, you know, I'm in awe. Best way I can describe, I am in awe. Literally every day of my life, when I see how God moves and how he answers prayers, how he brings so many wonderful things out of things that apparently don't seem to have any good aspects to it. And I just praise and thank God. I want to praise and thank God for all the wonderful people that God has brought into my life. Just had lunch with a very, very dear friend, close friend, Joe, today, and it was a blessing, and it was a blessing for both of us. And again, in the midst of this lunch meeting, I could see the power of God at work in both of our lives. So, Lord, I just want to praise and thank you for all the people that believe in you, believe in the power of the cross, of the resurrection power. I praise and thank you for the way that I see you working in all of their lives. I'm forever grateful to all those people. I look at Dennis out there, you know, what a wonderful volunteer. I bet he didn't think the day he wanted to meet over luncheon. I bet you he never thought that he'd be an engineer here at in his sign, let alone somebody that he's going just put his finger up to his head like pulling the trigger. Nor did he ever figure that he'd be driving me around. But all that he has done for this ministry, for my own ministry, I have no words. Just wow is all I can say without words. He's just been a gift. And for all of you, you know, I think of all the people that God has just brought into my life and connected with this ministry, you know, drive me in. Pat and Pam and Pat, my friend, Pat Loughran, drives me all my speaking engagements. And it's an amazing thing for me to see how God has surrounded me with so many angels. So many people, anything I can do, how can I help? And it's so humbling, but it's also an awesome, awesome gift, not only to see how God is moving and working, particularly I have seen throughout my whole life that where there is no way, God always makes a way. For that, I am most humbled, but I'm also most grateful. So let's open up the Gospels today. This reading today, of course, is from John 6, one of my favorite Gospels, 30 to 35. To me, I always think this is so clear. John 6, 6, all of John, the whole chapter, whole Gospel of John, and why some people can't understand that it's right there, black and white, and, you know, it's God's Word, it's clear. But it's the greatest gift that the world will ever receive or ever be aware of, and that is that Jesus Christ is our bread who has come down from heaven, the very bread of life for you and I. And when we know that because of him, we'll never hunger, we'll never thirst, because he will fill every aspect of our lives. I have often said, all my children, you know, when after my husband died and all my whole married life, I can actually tell you, I've often said my children might not have had every single thing they wanted, but they had every single thing they needed, as did I. And again, it was through God working through his people. It was through the Spirit of the living God manifesting himself in so many ways to take care of all of us. So if you're listening today and you feel like there's, you know, so much going on in your life and that God is so far away, or you can't see him, you can't feel him, you can't touch him, one way you can see, hear, feel his presence is always through the liturgy and through the sacramental life of the church. He really is alive. He's totally and completely really alive in the Eucharist. And my brothers and sisters, just sit quietly in his presence. Just go make a 10-minute holy hour visit. You don't have to stay the whole hour, but I bet you before long you will be. But, you know, I think that Jesus is so present in the Eucharist in so many parishes, and all over the Philadelphia Archdiocese, have Eucharistic adoration. Some have it till a certain time in the evening, and some have it, you know, perpetual, 24 hours a day. And the greatest gift, aside from receiving Jesus, you know, into our mind and heart and spirit as we physically receive him at Mass, as we receive Holy Communion, is the next best thing is sitting in his presence and allowing him to permeate with his healing love every part of our being. He turns sadness into a joy that's his joy that makes our joy complete. He turns confusion into clarity. He removes doubts and anxieties and fear. And sitting in his presence, just quietly sitting in his presence, just soaking it all up, He fills us with his healing love, his healing presence. I always say when we're in God's care, when we're in his Jesus' care, the divine physicians, we're in intensive care. And so he really wants to heal our hearts. He wants to comfort our souls. He wants to give us more, always wants to give us more. For those of you who are listening, somebody asked me about Calyx again. Yes, I will be down at Calyx at St. Gabe's in South Philadelphia. I will be doing the morning session of that instead of the afternoon. My son-in-law, Mark, will be there in the afternoon, but I will be there in the morning. I also will close out with a healing prayer and service with Father Doug McKay. And I ask you to keep that in prayer for me, please. I depend on your prayers, because it is those prayers that surround me and continue to avert those fiery darts that often come in my direction. So once again, please pray for me. And right now we will open up the gospel to John chapter 6. So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we might see and believe you? What work do you do? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, and he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." So often we forget that the very bread that came down, the manna in the wilderness, was actually the Father's way of showing the people that he always takes care of them, even when they're in the wilderness. And so he gave them that the bread that he sent from heaven. But Jesus is the living bread. And it's only Jesus who, as the bread of life, gives life to the whole world. And when we eat his body and drink his blood, we will have his life within us. How many times can you and I say that without the bread of life, without Jesus Christ himself, there is nowhere else to go? How many times have you and I felt that and said that? And even he said to his apostles at one time, remember, they were questioning, the Jews were struggling, and his disciples around, you know, they were really struggling to get that concept. Who is this man that claims that he's the bread of life? Who is he that claims when you eat his body and drink his blood? How can that happen? And they had a hard time with it. And remember one point in the scriptures, they were going to, you know, he heard them. He knew all that was in their heart, and he heard their grumblings, and he heard their unbelief. And he saw them starting to walk away. And I find it astonishing that nobody picks this up. As they were walking away, if he wasn't truly the bread of life, if he truly was not the person that he claimed to be, that as you eat his body and drink his blood, he will give his life to the world, he will feed us and nourish us and strengthen us and heal us. If that was not so, if it was just a symbol, if it really was a symbol, oh, do this in remembrance of me as a symbol, then surely he would have ran after those disciples and said, "Don't leave me. I really didn't mean eat my body and drink my blood. That's not what I really meant. I mean it was a symbol." He didn't do that. He let them walk away, because once again, our God is an awesome God, and he doesn't want us to love him because he demands it. He wants us to love him because he loved us first. He wants us to follow him, not because he demands it. He wants us to follow him because he wants us to know that if he laid down his life for us on a cross, if he was crucified for you and me on a cross, then surely once he rose again, that he would lead us to everlasting life, that he would lead us, watch over us, protect us, guide us into eternal life. All the horrors that take place in the world, you know, I've heard it said time and time again. Heard it all over again in Boston. Every tragedy that takes place, every time a horrific thing happens in either our lives or the lives of people that we know and love, and we see these tragedies take place time and time again, and we hear all around us, where's his God now? Where's her God now? We hear around us, how could a loving God allow these things to happen? Well, God doesn't allow them, if you will, to happen. They happen. All these things, these horrific things, these tragedies, these the evil, they're evil. They're evil. And God doesn't send evil, my brothers and sisters, into our lives. You know, there's a part in the, matter of fact, I'm writing it in a book, and there's a part of the Our Father, and it always, everybody always says, what does that really mean? And it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, this is my own concept now. I wrote this in a book. I'm trying to find my manuscript, quite frankly. But to me, this means this. And I think it answers all those questions that people have when they say, where was a loving God when this murder happened of my child? Or this, when my husband had a sudden heart attack? Or where was God in the midst of this illness, this husband or this wife or this child or this priest or this religious? Where was God in the midst of their suffering? Where was God when their life was taken, or they were gunned down, or where was God? Well, it says, and this is why people think so often that God is, and you know, he doesn't care, or they think, you know, where is a loving God? How can God isn't a loving God, or he wouldn't allow this to happen? Well, nothing could be further from the truth, and there's no death that was suffered in this world that could even compare to the torture and death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And you know what? He did it for us. He did it for you and he did it for me. And in that horrible, horrific scourging and beating, those pieces of metal slicing his flesh away, the bleeding on the cross, the all the emotional pain that he suffered. If there was a better way, God the Father would have found it. And God loved his Son, but he loved us so much that he sent his Son into the world to take all of our sins upon himself, who was innocent and sinless. But he took the sins of the world to the cross for you and for me, so that we would never die, but have eternal life and be with him forever. And so when we say the Our Father, this is what I think this means about deliver us from temptation. You know, I think that in the Our Father, when that phrase comes, that when we are in those times in our lives, it is Satan that sends those things into our lives, these evils, if you will, and he sends them into our lives as temptations that we would walk away from God. And all the time I think of the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. You know, we are always praying for his kingdom to come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants things on earth as they are in heaven. and give us this day our daily bread. He wants to give us everything that we need. We don't see the big picture. Lead us not into temptation. The temptations are the very things that Satan puts in our lives, these horrific things, these terrible set of circumstances, these tragedies, because Satan is not a loving God. And so these are the things he happen in our lives, because he would say, if I can do this, I know I can save, I know I can take their souls to hell with me. And so these things happen, and God works it together for a greater good. And that's why we should always pray, lead us not into those temptations, but deliver us from that evil. Deliver us from that evil. Those temptations that would try to draw us away from God. Fill us with those thoughts that people say, where is a loving God in all of this? A loving God is the heart of God that was pierced for you and I, because he is more concerned with our eternal life than our temporary life on here. Oh, he cares about us. He loves us. He wants to give us everything that we need that will lead us to eternal life. And that's hard for us to see, because he's God and we're not. That's hard for us to understand and grasp, because God's a mystery and we don't understand that mystery. But somewhere along the line, we're called to trust. We're called to trust that he's God and we're not, and that for some reason, he has allowed things to happen so that he can work them together for a greater good. And as hard as that is to grasp, I believe that's the truth. And God would never send anything into our lives that would lead us away from him. He would only continue to work in those things in our lives that happen, those tragedies, those tumultuous situations, those horrible sets of circumstances that we all go through. But if we go through them, it'll be the grace of God that carries us through them. And then we will be able to see the power and the glory of God at work in the very situations that so many people curse. So I ask you to have eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to receive God's infinite love, and trust in his divine wisdom and not our own. To trust in his great love, because I'll tell you what, I love, and when I love you passionately. I love with everything within me, no holds barred. I love you completely. But you know what? Even with a love like that, that I believe I have for those people in my life that I love so much, I don't think I could ever endure. I know I could never endure. I mean, once I start pulling my skin off little by little, all of a sudden, I'm going to realize, hey, I love, but I don't know that I love that much. I don't think I could lay down my life with that kind of suffering, no matter how much I love someone. But God's love is that real. God's love is that real, my brothers and sisters. And that's what we have to remember to trust in, his love. And so that bread of life, that's the very medicine. That's the medicine for these things that happen to us in our lives, the tragedies that take place, the brokenness, the woundedness, the disappointments, the despair. Jesus' body and blood, that's the very source of life. And when we eat his body and drink his blood, that becomes the very medicine to heal our hearts and comfort our souls. But we're always so busy looking at why wasn't he doing this? And how can he be doing that? We always look at what he's not doing it the way we expect him to, nor want him to. So we put him on a human level and forget that he's God. He's a mystery. And we forget oftentimes that we are not. And that is when we have to remember, without any second thoughts, that he came and he calls it one bread and one body, so that he can bring us all together with him in the unity of that body of Christ, that mystical body of Christ, because his life is healing, and as he unites us in his healing love, he one day will take you and I and all of us back home with him, where one day we will have that aha moment. Aha, I see, I understand. So my brothers and sisters, if you want to call in today, feel free. The number is 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. If you want to call in outside the area, dial toll free by dialing 1-888. Yeah, right. What the heck is the number? 1-888-343-2484. 1-888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Have you ever heard of seed faith? The biblical law of sowing and reaping? Many people fail when it comes to faith for finances because they haven't planted any seed. Any farmer knows that if you want a good crop, you have to first sow the seed. The Bible speaks about seed right from the beginning in Genesis, and it's brought up all throughout the scriptures. In the second book of Corinthians, we are told that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Why not consider sowing your financial seed into In His Sign Catholic Radio, a ministry with a 30-year history? You should sow your financial seed into a ministry that produces good fruit. Luke tells us at chapter 6, verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You should sow your financial seeds where you're fed, be it here, your local parish, or other worthy ministries. Please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. All of the staff at In His Sign donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Well, my brothers and sisters, we're back again. I have a call on the line. Let's take this. Hi, Pat.
Hey, Kathleen. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Are you there?
Yes, I am. I can hear you fine, Pat.
Oh, okay, good. You were talking about God's love.
Yeah.
For the last couple of weeks, God's really been placed on my heart something to add to what you're sharing with about, like, with the Our Father. You know, the Lord he reminded us through when the people, two friends lowered their buddy down to the Lord, and he said, because of your faith, he is healed, their friend is healed. And then last week in prayer, the Lord gave us prophecy when we prayed over for a friend, that because of our love for that individual, because of our heart and our prayers for the individual, even though the person walked away from God, God was going to bring him back. And I was just thinking about how the fact that, that God is timeless. There is there is no time for God.
That's right.
So this devastation that just happened, we can still pray for those individuals if they come to our hearts to pray and lift them up, because God can touch them still and have them receive Christ into their heart, you know?
Right.
And as their Savior. And you know, it's just, our prayers, I mean, it just really, really, it's just blown me away to think how powerful our prayers really, really are. That here we were praying for this individual,
and
what did the Lord say? Because of your love,
yep,
I will draw him to me. And it was like, oh my gosh. I mean, that just, I just can't put it into words how powerful that was for me.
Praise
and
God.
And it's like, we can do that now.
Yep.
We can do that all the time.
Yep.
So I was just listening to you talking about the Our Father, how the Lord wants his will done and everything. And it just, I tried calling and had a lot of problem with the phone. I thought, okay, fine, this is definitely for, I need to call you then. So try again.
Well, it's a great insight. And as always, you know, as you saw, praying over that person's loved one.
Yep.
As you said, God is outside of time and space, and we forget that sometimes.
Yeah, we do.
Oftentimes. And it's hard for us, too, to really recognize Christ in the breaking of the bread. But I remember Mysterium Fidei, Pope Paul VI wrote it, and I remember him saying then that you know, that the Eucharist is a very great mystery. And, you know, to use it, it's the mystery of faith. That's what it is. That, as the liturgy is called, the mystery of faith.
Right.
And it's something that is, it has a purpose of rejecting any other poison rationalism. That's what what Paul VI said. And I never forgot that, because many people, you know, fail to remember who God is. I mean, think about it. All the martyrs that witnessed to that faith with their own blood, would they have done so if it wasn't true?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, all the great doctors of the church, unbroken succession, have taught and professed this. And we have to approach that the mystery with that same trust, that same humble reverence. And that's all in that Mysterium Fidei.
Right.
And it was a beautiful encyclical. And I just never forgot that. I thought it was so beautiful. We need to approach humbly with reverence, and not following our, you know, all those human arguments that I just spoke of earlier. So, thanks for your call, Pat. Always a blessing to hear from you.
I was just going to say that we've become very complacent. I mean, we've become, you know, it's bad enough we've accepted so many things that are immoral.
Right.
But we've even taken our God and just like, oh, well, that's God, whatever. And we just haven't really to say he is really, really God.
Yeah.
And everything. Yeah. So anyway, just wanted to give you a call, Kathleen. Well,
thank you, darling. And, you know, let us always, everybody today, including, you know, all of us here, you know, let us remember something beautiful. Though I think the reason he referred to himself, you know, you know, being the bread of life, and we'll never thirst, we'll never hunger. He was showing us that he's the only one, the only one who really meets all of humanity's aspirations. How, you know, how beautiful it is for us as Catholics, you know, to know that and to realize that when he says that, when you eat my body and drink my blood, he's saying food and drink. He will give us everything we need.
Yes.
And he's telling the people, I'm the only one can do that. And we had better start remembering that in these times of tragedies and mm-hmm. trials and tribulations.
And count our blessings.
And count our blessings.
Exactly. God bless.
Thanks, Pat. God bless you. Bye-bye. You know, my brothers and sisters, this gospel is such a it's such a powerful gospel. And, you know, St. Jerome says something really powerful. He says, ignorance of Scripture is really ignorance of Christ. Ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. Now, that's St. Jerome, you know, one of our own bishops in the early church. And it's so true. If we know the Scriptures and we read in there that he says he's the bread that's come down from heaven, it's him, when we eat his body and drink his blood, we will have his life within us. And when we have his life within us, then we will really never hunger and thirst for the things of the world. He will keep us centered on his life. He'll keep us centered on to giving. And the more we give, the more we receive. He will keep us focused on eternal life. Always, that's the most important thing, getting to eternal life. This, you know, here we look at this tragedy that took place in Boston, and it was a tragedy. My heart ached when I heard that. I was in the global ministry meeting when I heard it. It was indeed a tragedy. And yet, I was thinking, just like the apostle said, to whom else can we go? You have the words of everlasting life. This life is temporary. We see how temporary it is, my brothers and sisters, when we think that when those people went to watch their loved ones running that race and they were gathered there at the finish line, the people were coming in. You could see immediately the joy on the kids' face and their husbands and their wives cheering them on as they were running before the bombs exploded. They never expected, never thought that would be their last day on earth. We never, ever know the hour. We never know when God is going to take us home. And so when we think that this life is so temporary. So temporary. And if we really could begin to grasp everlasting life. Everlasting life. How beautiful is our Catholic faith. How beautiful is our Christian faith that we know that this life is temporary. And that because it is, because he went to the cross for us, because he suffered, died, and was buried. Because of all that, he rose again for us. So that this life, though temporary it may be, we will have eternal life forever with the Lord. We forget that too often. We forget that he is the very source of all of our life. You know, St. John of the Cross, he's my favorite writer, John of the Cross. And I remember reading his works, The Living Flame of Love, and I mean, just so many of his works. The works of John of the Cross are fabulous. And if you've never read anything, I think to go get the works of John of the Cross is just a beautiful read. He, you know, writes with such love and sensitivity. And depth. But this is something that a quote from St. John of the Cross. It says, the Father uttered one word. That word is his Son. Think of that. He uttered one word, and that word is his Son. And he utters him forever in everlasting silence. In silence, the soul has to hear it. God spoke the word so that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that word would be brought into life by the power of the Spirit. And through Mary's acquiescence to that, yes, her fiat, we have the Savior of the world. We had the Savior. I mean, he's always with us. In silence, he is always with us. And every time then that we eat his body and drink his blood, we have life within us because of him. Because it doesn't end with all these temporary situations. Because life is indeed eternal. What an awesome God we have. What an awesome God we have. Well, my brothers and sisters, we have about 10 minutes left. If you'd like to give a call in, maybe you have something to say about the gospel reading today, or perhaps you have a question, or maybe you would just like to share something. How important is Jesus' body and blood to each one of us? How many times have we eat his body and drink his blood? Have we been consoled? I know very clearly, you know, when my husband died, I thought, oh my gosh, we just had a brand new child, brand new baby. And my heart was broke. I was so heartbroken. I was, you know, loved him so much. The joy of just having a new baby coming into our family. And then I remember people saying to me all the time that first couple months, Kath, you just had a baby. How could God call Jimmy home? It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right. How about you? You're left with all these little kids, 12 young kids. Well, you know, some of them were in school. When Jim died, Michael was actually in college. Four of them were very little toddlers, and some were in grade school. And it was indeed something that you'd say, you know, how can this be? How can this be? But you know what? I can tell you truly, although my heart was crushed because I no longer had Jimmy in the flesh, I no longer could feel his arms around me or no longer hear the voice that brought so much joy to my heart. No longer could feel him next to me. No longer could be excited waiting for him to walk into the door. All those things were gone because they were, you know, that's who he was. And God called him home. And it seemed like a tragedy indeed to many people. And as much as I missed Jim, as much as I loved him with all my heart and soul, as much as my children loved him with all their hearts and soul, we had to remember that God, in his infinite love, in his infinite mercy, decided to call Jimmy home from his suffering. And when he called him home, we knew without a doubt that we will never be left orphaned. I will never leave you orphaned. I will be with you always, even till the end of time. And the Lord heals the heart, the mind, and the spirit so that we can go forward. And how does he do that? He does it through one bread, one body. He does it through the mystical body of Christ, reaching out in love and mercy and compassion. And he does it through his Eucharistic body and blood, touching the deepest, innermost parts of our being with his healing love. Heals our hearts and comforts our souls. And he does that for all of us when we remember that this life is definitely temporary. But our road to eternal life is forever. Truly, truly forever. And so my brothers and sisters, Let us never forget that, so that as we eat his body and drink his blood, we will have his life within us. Remember, he said it wasn't Moses who gave us the bread from heaven. Rather, it was God. God in his infinite love and mercy, who didn't want to ever, ever be separated from us. So he sent his only son to die. He came to die that we could live. Isn't that something we can't even wrap our minds around? But we have to, because he tells us that it was God who gave us this bread from heaven. It's only God who could do it. It's only God who could tell us that when we die, even though we are dead, we will live forever. Even though a man be dead, yet he will live. It's a mystery indeed. But when we think of this amazing gift, we take it for granted. We take for granted that in every tabernacle all over the world, the bread of life, life for the world, is there. Every tabernacle all over the world. And although we have these wounds in our hearts and our souls, we have these empty moments, we have to remember that they are temporary too, and that God will heal and assuage our very wounds. And he will bring us new life where death was. He will bring us joy where sorrow was. And he will bring us peace where anxiety and fear were. This is only God that can do this. No one else can do it. No human being. This is not something a mere human being could ever do, but only one who is God. Only one who is the divine. Only one who is the very creator of these bodies of ours. And when it's time for you and I to fold up our tents, as the scriptures tell us, it'll be his life, eternal life, that we will all be entering into. And so let us not be preoccupied with death, because we know one day when God calls us home, we'll live forever. But let us be very much aware that every day could be our last day. How well prepared are we to hear our names called? How well prepared are we to end this temporary journey on earth, to enter into eternal glory in heaven? You know, God is God, and when we think of what he did for us, there's no way we can really comprehend or understand it. It's all of Jesus' body, all of Jesus' blood, in entirety, fully, mind, body, soul, and divinity. It's not just like a piece of flesh and some blood. You know, it's not just that. It's his soul. It's his divinity, and it's the fullness of the Godhead. It's the fullness of Jesus Christ, mind, body, soul, and divinity. It's not possible for a human person to give us this. It can only be done by God. And as we place our hope and our trust in him, we will begin to understand this wonderful mystery that takes place in our lives every day. We'll be more fully able to understand what God is really calling each of us to do, and that's simply to trust him, to trust in his divine mercy, to trust in his love. As much as we love one another, and even as a husband and wife, give ourselves to each other completely, on a human level, that's only physical or emotional. But the only really true measure of love is that one will willingly. Each one of us are going to go home, and it won't be willingly. He'll call us in a blink of an eye, just like that, and we're gone. But he laid down his life willingly for us. He willingly went to the cross for us. He willingly suffered physically, spiritually, emotionally for us. Nobody could love that way. Nobody could love that way except the man that was Jesus Christ. Fully human, he had to go to that cross in his humanity so that the redemption would be a reality. Let's never forget all that God has in store for you and I, more than we could ever imagine. Eye has not seen nor ear has heard what God has prepared for us. So remember, it's not just a symbol. His body and blood is not a symbol. It's not something that happens that we believe in. It's that miraculous thing that takes place on every altar all over the world. It's miraculous. You know, healing ministry, 40-some years. I tell everybody, the greatest healing ministry, the greatest healing service takes place on every altar all over the world. And so my brothers and sisters, let us come together today. Let us be that mystical body of Christ so that we can truly begin to understand more fully day in and day out as we eat his body and drink his blood, what is really taking place, that God himself is truly present. He's substantially there in our midst. And he gives himself to us in the fullness of himself in Holy Communion. What an extraordinary thing. What an extraordinary miracle that takes place on every Catholic altar all over the world. My brothers and sisters, if you're away from the church, away from this awesome gift of Eucharist, of eating his body and drinking his blood and having him commune with us and sup with us, we cannot take this lightly. Come back, because the church is not complete without you. There's a mighty work to do, and God wants to use you, each and every one of you. He wants to use me. He wants to use all of us as the mystical body to go out into the world while this divine mercy is taking place. This is an urgent time in the church, my brothers and sisters. A time of great mercy. Will you come and be his hands and his feet? Will you go and tell everybody that he's alive? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Lord, send your healing word, enlightening minds, hearts, and spirits to the one most extraordinary truth, that you are truly present in the Holy Eucharist. My brothers and sisters, until we meet again, may he hold you close to that divine heart that has loved you so much. And God willing, we will see you tomorrow.